Godsmack currently rocking out at the Fiserv Forum, which means Game 3 for the Milwaukee Bucks and Boston Celtics. Not till tomorrow. 3 days of layoff, which is probably a good thing for our next guest, who I imagine suffered from a little bit of jet lag following the Milwaukee Bucks out in Boston. He's the sports director, and you hear him on Wisconsin's Afternoon News on 620 WTMJ, the great Greg Matzik with us. Greg, how are you? Are you recovered from a little bit of jet lag over the week?
All good, man. This is the grind. It's the second season. You got to be ready for it. You get your rest in the regular season. Two off days, three off days, one off day. Doesn't matter, brother. It's the playoffs. You got to be ready.
Let's go, Greg. You got me ready to run through a brick wall right now. So tell me about Boston. I don't know if you've been there before, if you've spent extensive time out there. Me and the lady took a trip out there at the beginning of April. Love the city, and obviously the Bucks stole a game. So good trip for you?
Boston is credible. It's incredible. It's one of the great American cities in our union. It is not easy to find your way around. There is no grid system. The streets are as if somebody threw spaghetti noodles in the air. When they landed, they said, okay, that'll be Pierce Street, and that one will be Washington Avenue. And it's even your GPS gets kind of screwed up. Like, it's just like you can get turned around in a minute. But that's part of the charm and the intrigue. It's busy, but it's not chaotic. And if you like Italian food, just go to the North End, plunk yourself down a 3-square-block area. There's like 60 Italian restaurants. It's heaven, man, if you like food, and good sports done as well. So I thought the crowd was into it, really engaged, very much on top of the Bucks, and on Grayson Allen, Boo and Giannis. Like, they were into it, as you might expect. So I think it's important to bring that energy back at Fiserv here this weekend and on Monday.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I went and saw a Celtics-Pacers game while I was out there, and the guy sitting next to me in his very thick accent could not stop let's just say cursing about Kyrie Irving, who was not even in the building that night. Were they still yelling about Kyrie, or are they on to the next round finally? The Boston fans, that is.
So my media seat was in, it's kind of a corner section, and there were 5 rows of media seating, and I had the 5th row. So behind me, there was a little space, but there were fans. And I could hear the fans very clearly in the conversations they were having. And they were throwing F-bombs at Giannis before he even took the floor for warm-ups. He wasn't even on the floor. And it was F Giannis, F this, effing stop Giannis. Anytime you get to the free throw line, F you Giannis. Like, it didn't stop. And then this was game number one. And then there was a point, I think it was when Giannis notched his triple-double, so he got that 10th assist. It turned from all of that, of what I described, to F, Giannis is ridiculous. Like, they started to get on, like, you know what I mean? Like, they got it. They understand how good Giannis is. But maybe it's just part of their vernacular. Like, it is F-bombs for accent or whatnot. But that was my big takeaway from the fans.
Yeah, well, that's fair. I mean, they are incredibly passionate. It's one of the great American sports cities for a reason, right? So they get into it. But as well, Greg, they realize you can't hate Giannis, right? Like, it's impossible to hate this guy, even if he's beating up your team. So at least I can respect the turnaround from the Boston faithful.
The guy they hate is Grayson Allen. I don't think that should be a surprise. Like there were boos toward Giannis and whatever. You're always going to have that. Nobody's booing Drew Holiday. Like, everybody I talked to, overheard talking, man, that guy would be great on our team. Like, they love themselves some Drew Holiday. Grayson sneezes and people are booing him. Like, didn't they watch the Bulls series? Like, don't you guys get it? Like, this actually fuels him to some regard. But he was public enemy number one. I didn't expect that. Not that I expect a love fest for the guy, but he was public enemy number one.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not shocking at all. Greg Matzik, sports director at 620 WTMJ, with us here on Bucks at 6 on ESPN Wisconsin. So, Greg, I got to ask you, you mentioned you made a stop at Little Italy, I assume. But when I was out in Boston, man, it was all about the crab cakes. It was the first time I had them. I fell in love with them. Please tell me you got some crab cakes and you enjoyed the hell out of it.
I did not have any crab cakes. I had
Greg.
Several pasta dishes. I had Mike's Pastry, which is an institution.
Okay.
I had a lobster roll from Pauly's North End. Now, if anybody listening is a fan of Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, which I am, on the Food Network, That was a location, Pauly's North End, right next to a great restaurant called Neptune Oyster, which is delicious. I do like crab cakes, but I'm going to be honest. I've had them in Boston, and I've had them in New Orleans. My honest assessment is that the New Orleans crab cake is superior to the Boston crab cake.
Hmm. Interesting. I've never been to New Orleans, so I guess I'll take your word for it. But that's disappointing, given that
you would do very well there. You would do very well in New Orleans. You would enjoy that. It smells a little bit. It's funky, but you would like it.
It smells a little bit. Well, I like to party and I like food, so like, of course, I'd do well in New Orleans, right? Like that's what goes down there. So. Let's talk a little basketball. I guess we can get to that now. And that would be, you know, I want to throw out yesterday's poll question at you because I've asked Ben Brust and Justin Garcia this question this week. They've had the same answer, so I'm curious what yours would be. Which Bucks starter do you believe needs to step up the most in game number three?
Ooh, starter. I think it's Giannis.
There you go.
I think it's Giannis. I know he had a triple-double in game one, and I didn't think he played terribly well in game two, in the first half especially. Second half, he kind of got in freight train mode. But if Giannis is what Giannis typically is, that's a problem for the Celtics. And if Giannis is what Giannis typically is, the Bucks aren't making just three-point shots. They can beat the Celtics, I think. Without Chris Middleton, I don't think I can win a title without Chris Middleton. But Giannis has to be on point.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's got to be MVP. He's got to be last year's playoffs Giannis, right? We need a 40-point game at some point, which is a crazy ask. I get that, but it's not as crazy of an ask for Giannis Antetokounmpo, right? Like a guy that, especially for what his skill set is in the playoffs, and that would be really figuring out how to dissect an opposing defense. And he seems to figure that out games three and four. So I don't think it's crazy to think he'll have a much more efficient night than he's had in the first two games of this series tomorrow as he gets A, back on the home floor, and B, a third crack at the Boston Celtics in a row. And as they say, a third time's the charm. So I would expect tomorrow night, Greg, is a Giannis party. This is really when he finds his groove, it seems, in playoff series.
Well, he always seems to respond. And that's one thing I think I really appreciate about Giannis is that, you know, just when you think you've got an answer or you've taken away his mojo, like it doesn't last. Like he always finds a way to bounce back and dig a little deeper for more. I did feel in game number two, he started pressing a little bit in that first half. Things weren't going his way, so he kept just trying to, you know, bash his head through a brick wall. And it didn't work. The results weren't there, and guys weren't knocking down shots either. So it was just a kind of a collective dud in that first half, and things started to change in the second half. So holding Giannis down for a complete game is rare. You just don't see it terribly often. But if he does have a bad night, can the Bucks still win a game if he has an off night? I mean, and that's where, you know, Grayson Allen, Pat Connaughton, they were so good in the Bulls series, sort of picking up the slack for Chris Middleton, but you can't rely on that, I think, night in and night out. Giannis, you can rely on night in and night out, and I think you need to, especially in the absence of Middleton.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Greg Matzik with us, sports director at 620 WTMJ here on Bucks at 6. Greg, what's going on with Brook Lopez offensively? I've been a little shocked by the lack of production we've seen from him in this Boston series. He's only taken 9 shots, which is the least of any Bucks starter through the first two games. Is it a matchup thing? Is it a confidence thing? What's your takeaway from the lack of Brook Lopez we've seen offensively through two games?
Yeah, Mike Budenholzer, I thought I had an interesting comment following the game. Oftentimes, Booty after a game will just say, well, we got to look at the film, see what our options were. Did we miss him a couple of times? And he'll really just avoid the question and not give you anything. But after game two, he came out and said, no, we've got to look at that. We've got to find a way. Because I think the numbers you just mentioned are startling, considering that Brook is fresh and he played really well in those first two games against the Chicago Bulls, one win, one loss. He was sort of the consistent offensive force. And he's a monster, man. Like, he's just a gorilla. He's a huge body. So his ability to knock down threes pulls Robert Williams away from the basket, like, or Al Horford. like you don't run really through Brook, but you get him touches, and he deserves to have touches, especially without Chris Middleton. So I was surprised at his lack of usage in game two. Game one, all right, you get the win. It's a double-digit win. You're going to have games like that where some of your best players, it's up and down. But game two, nothing was working, and Brook wasn't even tried. So that seems like something to me that you've got to figure out a way to get all your bodies incorporated. But Brook is a big one.
Yeah, no, he really is. And like you mentioned, Greg, I think that's why I'm so concerned, is the fact that he played so well in those first two games against Chicago. And I don't want to say he's disappeared, but he's had very minimal impact offensively in the first two games of this Boston series. And I feel like if the Bucks are going to win, especially as it looks like without Chris Middleton, you need him to do more offensively. And we have just not seen that up to this point. But still, it's a best-of-five series at this point, right? You get it back on home court. You've got to win three games. There's still plenty of time to turn it around for him. Last thing for you, Greg, before we let you go into the weekend, prior to Game 3 tomorrow at Fiserv, is what do you expect in the Deer District? It's supposed to be a nice day. It's a Saturday. It's a midday game. Is this the first date this postseason that the Deer District is just packed to the brims? Because that's what I'm anticipating.
I think tomorrow is the launching point for what we came to know and love last year. It may not be as full as you saw it in the Suns series in the NBA Finals, but I think tomorrow is the launching point for what we hope is another long run to the NBA Finals.
Greg Matzik just made me sound like a genius because that's what I talked about in the first segment. Greg, nicely done, buddy. We'll talk to you again soon. Enjoy the weekend and hopefully a couple bucks wins.
Sounds good, brother. Have a good one.
It's Greg Matzik. You can hear him on Wisconsin's Afternoon News on 620 WTMJ, our sister station here in Milwaukee, as well as occasionally on Bucks Talk after each Bucks game with Justin Garcia on these very stations, 94.5 and 100.5 ESPN. Chris, seriously, I'm very appreciative of the way we ended that conversation because he really did make me sound smarter than I am as he kind of said my point from the first segment. I feel a little overconfident all of a sudden. Chris, I might need you to set me down a couple
times. Yeah, don't get a big head now. It's just one segment, so.
I might get a big head. Who knows? Well, speaking of big heads, no, that's not a necessary shot. But speaking of big personalities, Joel Embiid is currently playing. He's back for the Philadelphia 76ers.
With a mask on.
But it's not as good as Bobby Portis's. But he does have a mask
close,
on here in Game 3 of the Philadelphia-Miami series. Sixers up 12-8 right now with about 6 minutes to go in the first quarter. We'll talk more about this series and all the other series going on in the NBA as we go around the NBA. That's next. It's Bucks at 6 on your Friday here on ESPN Wisconsin.
Back to Talkin' Bucks after this on ESPN Wisconsin,